This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dale Wilman. Crews have begun the difficult task of removing the remains of the Francis Scott Key Bridge that collapsed on Tuesday in Baltimore. They're cutting the first section of steel so that it can be loaded onto a barge. Coast Guard Rear Admiral Shannon Gilry says they'll be patient as they begin using the heavy cranes to remove the material.
Every time you do this, you occasionally encounter challenges, and you got to work around those when you do. And so we're going to do it safely because we don't want to injure any of those workers that are doing that work.
The first segment of steel, meanwhile, has already been removed from the Patapsco River. Commercial shipping traffic began moving again near the U.S.-Canada border in the Upper Great Lakes region overnight after being at a standstill for nearly 2 days. As Rick Brewer of member station WCMU reports, the holdup was caused by a vessel that slammed into a light tower. The tower helps to guide ships through the waterways.
The 714-foot bulk carrier crashed into a tower dubbed the Mudlake Junction Light. Coast Guard officials determined the ship's hull sustained damage, but it was difficult to determine how much. Lieutenant Phil Gertler is a public affairs officer with the Coast Guard. He says this section of the St. Mary's River is known as Mudlake for a reason.
Unfortunately, that's part of the reason why it took such a long time to actually make those initial assessments is because the water is very dark. It's hard to actually see things.
The American Mariner was able to move out of the channel under its own power. Around 90% of iron ore used to produce steel in the U.S. passes through this section of the Great Lakes each year. For NPR News, I'm Rick Brewer in Midland, Michigan.
Pro-Palestinian supporters were protesting in New York today. They also marked the 48th anniversary of when Israeli security forces killed six Arab and Palestinian protesters who were demonstrating against government land seizures in Israel. A three-ship convoy, meanwhile, is on its way to Gaza right now to deliver more than 1 million meals to that besieged region. Dallas-based AT&T says data from 73 million current and former account holders has been stolen. Bill Zeeble with member station KERA in Dallas says the telecommunications giant has begun alerting customers about the theft.
AT&T says it learned of data released on the dark web about 2 weeks ago. While it doesn't know if the information was released by AT&T or one of its vendors, it included personal information like social security numbers. Based on a preliminary analysis, the company says 7.6 million current account holders and approximately 65.4 million former account holders may be affected. It's already reset passwords of current users. AT&T says the data appears to be from 2019 or earlier. The company's launched what it calls a robust investigation using internal and external cybersecurity experts and says it will offer free credit monitoring where applicable. For NPR News, I'm Bill Zeeble in Dallas.
And you're listening to NPR News. Sunday is election day in cities, towns, and villages across Turkey, and the highest-profile race is the contest for the mayor's job in Istanbul. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that Turkey's president is hoping to reverse his party's surprising loss to an opposition candidate 5 years ago.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's ruling AK party was rocked in 2019 as the opposition swept mayoral elections in Turkey's three largest cities, Istanbul, Ankara, and Izmir. This year, Erdogan is determined to retake Istanbul, not least because he himself was the city's mayor early in his political career. Polls have shown incumbent mayor Ekrem İmamoğlu in the lead. Critics say he has few accomplishments, but his supporters say he's done a good job despite being shortchanged on national funding his predecessors enjoyed. The ruling party candidate is a former cabinet minister who's run a relatively low-profile campaign. Results could be announced Sunday night. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Ukraine's military says Russia has launched 38 missiles at their country in the last 24 hours. There have also been 75 airstrikes and 98 attacks from multiple rocket launchers over that same time period. Two people were killed and another was wounded in shelling in Donetsk province. Russia has escalated its attacks in recent days, mostly targeting that country's infrastructure. Scotty Scheffler is just one round away from a third straight victory in the PGA Tour. He shot a 66 today after bouncing back from a double bogey with consecutive birdies. Scheffler now sits at a five-way tie for the lead at the Houston Open this weekend. U.S. amateur champion Nick Dunlap, meanwhile, is one shot off the lead after shooting a 63. I'm Dale Wilman, NPR News in Washington.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.